Let's read together Psalms 143 and 144. Here we have two more Psalms of David. Psalm 143 is the last of David's penitential Psalms. And in Psalm 144, David gives the believer the key to success and happiness. Let's begin by reading Psalm 143. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In your faithfulness, answer me. And in your righteousness, do not enter into judgment with your servant. For in your sight, no one living is righteous. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in darkness, like those who have long been dead. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is distressed. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. I muse on the work of your hands. I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. Selah. Answer me speedily, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down into the pit. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. In you I take shelter. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake, for your righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. In your mercy, cut off my enemies and destroy all those who afflict my soul, for I am your servant. Let's begin our study of this Psalm, Psalm 143, with some background notes. There are seven Psalms known as penitential Psalms. They are Psalms 6, 32, 38, 51, 102, 130, and 143. So Psalm 143 is the last of the penitential Psalms in the book of Psalms. In a penitential Psalm, the psalmist recognizes that his distress and trouble are because of his own sin, and thus his lament is a confession of sin. Now, the best-known penitential psalms are Psalms 32 and 51, where David repents of his sins of adultery and murder. Now, we're not sure what particular sin of David is in view here in Psalm 143. In this penitential psalm, Psalm 143, David's position of penitence is the right and biblical position of penitence. And that brings us to our doctrinal point for Psalm 143. There is a biblical position for the penitent. There is a biblical position for the penitent. In this penitential psalm, we see what the biblical position for penitence is and what it is not. The biblical position for penitence is not doing some act of penance, such as self-flagellation or practicing asceticism or even going on a pilgrimage. No, the biblical position of penitence, as we see in this psalm, is to first of all confess our sin and acknowledge that we deserve God's righteous judgment. Verses 1 and 2, do not enter into judgment with your servant, for in your sight no one living is righteous. Notice that David does not try to excuse himself in any way or shift the blame in any way. Something Adam tried to do in the Garden of Eden, and something many Christians try to do today, rather than appealing to God for his mercy. The transition David uses to move from verses 1 and 2 to verses 3 and 4 indicates that David recognized that God had allowed him to experience personal distress, even approaching death as part of God's discipline. We too should recognize that God uses all kinds of discipline in our lives when we sin, even situations that cause us great distress. Knowing this truth is an essential part of the biblical position for the penitent. In verses 5 and 6, we see that longing for the blessings of the past before some sin came in to disrupt our fellowship with the Lord is also important to the biblical position of the penitent. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. Selah. In verses 7 through 10, we see that another essential aspect to the biblical position of the penitent is to want to be taught and guided in the ways of the Lord, not our own ways. And finally, we see in verses 11 and 12 that wanting God's glory and God's righteousness and God's loyal love to be magnified is part of the bottom line of the biblical position of the penitent. There is a biblical position for the penitent. Now, what about practical application for Psalm 143? Don't jump to the wrong conclusion about God's discipline. Don't jump to the wrong conclusion about God's discipline. The Bible clearly teaches that God can use sickness and distress, even death, in his discipline of his erring children. But don't jump to the wrong conclusion that every time you or someone else is sick, or every time you or someone else is experiencing hard times or some other form of distress, that it is God's discipline or some sin in your life or some sin in that other believer's life. No, it may be for any number of good reasons why God has allowed you or another Christian to get sick or undergo some stressful situation. Read about the blind man in John chapter 9 in this connection. The Lord said that he was blind so that the work of God might be displayed in him. So don't jump to the wrong conclusion about God's discipline. Let's continue reading Psalm 144. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle, my loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and the one in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him, or the son of man that you are mindful of him? Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. Bow down your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Flash forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out your arrows and destroy them. Stretch out your hand from above. Rescue me and deliver me out of great waters, from the hand of foreigners, whose mouth speaks lying words, and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song to you, O God. On a harp of 10 strings, I will sing praises to you. The one who gives salvation to kings, who delivers David his servant from the deadly sword. Rescue me and deliver me from the hand of foreigners, whose mouth speaks lying words, and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. That our daughters may be as pillars, sculptured in palace style. That our barns may be full, supplying all kinds of produce. That our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our fields, that our oxen may be well laden, that there be no breaking in or going out, that there be no outcry in our streets. Happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Let's consider a few background notes for Psalm 144. In this Psalm of David, no less than 9 quotations from other psalms are used, especially Psalm 18. Now, this was not plagiarism, because David wrote all of the other psalms he quoted from. But even if he hadn't, it would not be plagiarism for David to quote from several psalms and arrange the quotes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In Psalm 144, David praises the Lord for past victories in verses 1 through 4, and prays with confidence to the Lord for present deliverance in verses 5 through 11, and then looks on to the future for the Lord's promised blessings in verses 12 through 14. And then in the last verse of the psalm, David gives us the key to happiness or the secret of success in verse 15. Happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. And that brings us to our doctrinal point for Psalm 144. Godly people have the key to happiness. Godly people have the key to happiness. So what's the key to happiness and secret of success in life? Is it material prosperity? No. Is it fame or power? No. It is to know the God of the Bible and make him Lord of your life. Verse 15, once again, happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. All the way through this psalm, we see that David is conscious of the Lord's intimate presence and care and concern for all that David is doing. Look at the first four verses where David praises the Lord for victory against Israel's enemies. David recognizes that it is the Lord that gives him skill with sword and slingshot, verse 1. And it is the Lord who protects him and gives him authority, verse 2. And it is the Lord who gives significance to our brief lives, verses 3 and 4. We will never be happy if we don't recognize this truth, that everything we have is from the Lord, including any meaning to life. Again, we see in verses 5 through 11, where David petitions the Lord for deliverance, that there is a recognition and acknowledgement that the Lord is completely sovereign over all things, including earthquakes and storms, verses 5 and 6. And it is the Lord who sovereignly gives or allows any victory to any king. Verse 10, the one who gives salvation to kings. So the Lord can certainly bring deliverance and victory in any situation, no matter what the circumstances, even when there are liars and cheats who pledge one thing with their right hand raised but practice treachery at the same time. Verses 8 and 11. But David can still sing a new song, verse 9, and be happy and know that the Lord will bring blessing in the future, verses 12 through 15. Why? Because he knows that the God of the Bible sovereignly controls all events and all people, and this God is David's Lord. Verse 15, once again, happy are the people who are in such a state, happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Godly people have the key to happiness. And now, what about practical application from Psalm 144? Don't forget the prophetic implications of the Psalms. Don't forget the prophetic implication of the Psalms. Question: has David's prayer in verses 12 through 14 been answered? That our barns may be full, supplying all kinds of produce, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our fields, that our oxen may be well laden, that there be no breaking in or going out, that there be no outcry in our streets. Verses 12 through 14. Has that prayer been answered? Answer: not fully, but it will be. Certainly under King Solomon's reign, there was great peace and blessing in Israel. But Psalm 144, like so many of the Psalms, has prophetic implications. When the Lord returns to this earth and establishes his wonderful kingdom with restored Israel as his focus, these blessings of the last few verses of Psalm 144 will be fully realized. Don't forget the prophetic implications of the Psalms.